Earlier this month, Filipino-American Maria Ressa was one of two journalists to accept the Nobel Peace Prize in Norway. Ressa was almost blocked from leaving the Philippines. Her publication, The Rappler, has criticized the government of Rodrigo Duterte. And in turn, Ressa has been charged with crimes including cyber libel and tax evasion. Here's part of her Nobel acceptance speech.
I stand before you, a representative of every journalist around the world who is forced to sacrifice so much to hold the line, to stay true to our values and mission, to bring you the truth and hold power to account.
Now, Ressa is trying to keep journalists working by supporting them financially. She is the co-chair of a new organization called the International Fund for Public Interest Media. And we're joined now by her co-chair, Mark Thompson. He's the former head of the New York Times and the BBC. Mark, welcome.
Hi, Peter. Hi.
Hi. So the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres recently said this about independent journalism around the world, which is suffering in the pandemic.
With estimated losses of $30 billion over the last year for newspapers alone, some fear the pandemic could become a media extinction event. We cannot afford to let this happen.
So he's calling it there a media extinction event. How would you describe the situation with independent journalism around the world? Is it that dire?
I think it really is. All over the world, independent journalists and editors face two problems. One, in many countries, is something which is very well known, which is authoritarian and populist governments trying to bear down, to persecute, in some cases even, unfortunately, to imprison and even murder journalists. That's one big threat. But also, it's just straightforwardly to do with the very tough economics of starting up and maintaining, you know, successful and viable news shops all over the world. And in the last year, because of COVID and the effect on advertising in particular across the developing world, that's become really acute. Many news organizations have gone out of business already. And without, we believe, a pretty big intervention, the risk is that many, many more go, and that the whole, the kind of light of independent journalism, illuminating the truth, helping make sure the world's populations really understand what's happening in their countries, that in country after country, that light goes out.
Let's use the Rappler, if we can, for just a moment. This is Maria's news organization in the Philippines. It's faced repeated cyber attacks. That's really just the start of it. If she were here, we'd ask her about it, but she's busy dealing with those problems. What can you tell us about the challenges that Maria Ressa is facing?
Firstly, what is Maria and Rappler doing? They're holding the Duterte government to account, and the government doesn't like it. And there's been an extraordinary campaign of vilification and legal harassment and straightforward threats against Maria and against Rappler ever since. This against the backdrop of more than 20 journalists being murdered in the Philippines since Duterte came to power. So she only is able to keep going because she's able to access some financial support from foundations. And one of the reasons that she decided to be co-chair of IFPIM is she knows that without that kind of support, she couldn't do what she does. And she wants to make sure that many, many, many more news organizations around the world get access to that stream of funding, which makes journalism at least economically possible and makes the fight, as it were, for free speech and for a free press more winnable, because at least you can pay journalists, at least you can keep the lights on.
So in terms of what you're both trying to do then, President Biden, for instance, recently said at the Summit for Democracy that he's going to pledge up to $30 million to the fund.
So the idea is of gathering money from governments around the world, from the private sector, from big companies, and from foundations, and then creating a grant-giving organization, that's what the fund will be, which is independent from the donors. So this is not just Western countries pursuing, as it were, their own diplomatic or political goals.
Oh, so if there's a concern that a government is funding the journalism, you're saying that isn't a concern because you're going to direct it somewhere.
The idea is that we have an arm's length relationship with our donors. I mean, of course, the donors and the fund will be united in believing in certain basic precepts and ideals about journalism. Arm's length giving of grants to editors and innovators, founders of companies, with an initial focus on the global south, so Latin America, Africa, South Asia, East Asia, Southeast Asia will be the main focus. And although many of your listeners may be saying, well, isn't this impossible in many countries? In much of the world, it's a much more open battle still.
They might also be wondering if money can solve a problem in the face of the growing threat of authoritarian governments putting pressure on journalists around the world. Will money be enough?
I think that's fair. That's a very fair question. To me, this funding is a necessary, but yes, not entirely sufficient condition for success. There are other important pieces of the jigsaw as well, which, of course, you know, central to that is support for the right of independent journalists to do their jobs in all these different countries.
That's Mark Thompson, co-chair, along with Nobel Prize winner Maria Ressa of the International Fund for Public Interest Media. Mark, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.